Our scripture today is from the book of 1 John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible or in a Bible you have at home, you're welcome to do that, or you can just read the words on the screen. Before we get into this, though, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this chance to experience your Son in this wonderful way, for your Son who is the Word made flesh. Lord, we pray that our hearts are open to receive what it is that you have for us through him, to change us, to mold and shape us, that we may be more yours every day. We also pray for your mercy upon the sermon. May it be used for your glory and yours alone. Somehow your light may shine through it. We thank you, Lord, for your glorious love. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John, chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Hear now God's word. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are called children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This scripture is chock full of fantastic stuff. In the short three verses that it is, we learn so much, and it's too much for one sermon. But what I do want to talk about today, at least in part, is this scripture here. Dear friends, we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But what we know, that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Excuse me. And then this one, that we should be called children of God. All right, so now we all know the phrase, or we have heard the phrase at least once, the transfiguration of Jesus. You heard that phrase before? Transfiguration of Jesus is a story about Jesus that shows up in every single one of the Gospels. And a neat part about this is this transfiguration in each of the Gospels shows up in the same place, which is about the middle. You get Jesus' life kind of split up into two parts. Jesus' ministry and telling the people that the kingdom of God is at hand. And then you get the transfiguration. And then after that, you get Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, towards the crucifixion and resurrection. Transfiguration serves as a sort of turning point, a transition period, a climax of sorts. Now, what happens at the transfiguration, excuse me, as many of us are aware, is that in that moment, the disciples, there's three of them, with Jesus. I think one of the Gospels says four. But either way, they're standing with Jesus, and Jesus shines in front of them brighter than any bleach can make them. Or another scripture says, like, whiter than white, or brighter than a fuller soap. You know, they're trying to grasp something that they just, that's too much for us to grasp. Something that's completely other. In this moment, Jesus shows us just a little bit of who Christ really is. When the disciples saw Jesus, they saw a man. His ministry here on earth. But in the moment on the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw him in his totality. Fully man, fully God, was revealed to him in this moment. Now, why is this important? It's important for a lot of reasons. It shows us that God is indeed, or Jesus is indeed just that, fully man and fully God. But when we think about that phrase, sometimes it's confusing. What does that mean? How can that happen? How does that work? But also what that means is that we get to experience this even if just a little bit in our own lives. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. We're people who like to look forward to the future. How many people are super excited about Thanksgiving? Oh, I am. Come on. I mean, mashed potatoes, stuffing, turkey. How many people are looking forward to Christmas? How many people are looking forward to the baking? Well, maybe not. But to the eating, that's super exciting. This one, I'm cheating, all right? So if you say you're not looking forward to the future, here's something. Again, I'm cheating. How many of you are looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of heaven here on earth? Yeah, I mean, okay, that's cheating. Of course, as Christians, we're sort of supposed to be looking forward to that one. But we're all, our mind is, if it's not in the past, it's in the future. Waiting for this day. I hope this happens. What about this? I hope I get a raise. I hope I get a new job. You know, and we're always mindful for what tomorrow might bring. But our scripture today reminds us of what we have right now in this moment. That in this moment, right now, we have one of the most exciting things in our entire lives. We are God's children. As Christ was God's child, we too, through the adoption that Romans tells us about, we are God's children in this moment. Now we may say, woohoo, that's exciting, and it really is. But then that means that when I die, I have life. Now that is exciting, and that brings a lot of hope. Because we get to look into a future that means life everlasting. And it means, and we will be, and what we will be has not yet been made known except to those who have gone before us. To Paul, to Roberta, to Jean, to Sharon. They know what comes next. And that's a promise to us that we can count on every day of our life. Because we are children of God today, our tomorrow is well taken care of. Good? We could stop there. I could stop there. We'll be finished up 15 minutes early and it's going to go home. But you know I'm not going to. Got to use the time as best as I can. But that's a happy sermon in and of itself. As Christians through Jesus Christ, we have a hope that transcends death. But as children of God, we have a hope that exists right now in this moment. We are God's child, God's children, each and every one of us. And because of that, we're set apart. See what great love the Father has lavished on you, that you should be called children of God. And that is what you are. Right now, in this moment, you are God's child. You may be called a lot of things in life. In fact, that's a joke that just keeps on telling. Someone says something to me, and they're like, well, I didn't mean that. And then I say, well, I've been called a lot worse. We can always say that we've been called a lot worse. My dad would always say, and you've heard this one before, you can call me anything you want. Just don't call me late for dinner. We're called lots of things, and we have lots of labels, and we have lots of identities in our lives. Some identities we're very happy about. Some we're very proud of. Father, pastor, husband. Very excited about those ones. Very thankful for God for those identities. You can call me that. Any of those. Don't call me father. It's Catholic. And only my kids call me father. But you call me anything else. I mean, I've probably been called a lot worse. Some of our identities we're not so proud of. Liar, I've done it. Feel shameful for it. Failure, I've failed several times. Said things I shouldn't have. Road rager, yeah, on occasion. It's getting better. Getting better. Selfish. At times. Not proud of that. We're a lot of things. Not all of them are great. But there's only one thing that matters. There's only one thing that really, really, really counts for everything. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. There's only one label that matters in our life. There's only one thing that matters above everything else, and that we are God's children. Does that mean we're perfect? Absolutely not. Does that mean we could be called other things? Yes, but at the very least, at the very most, I am God's child. I have lied, absolutely, but Jesus loves me. I have failed without a doubt, but Jesus still loves me. I have fallen short and done some things I am ashamed about, but Jesus loves me. And that has never changed. But if you're going to call yourself a child of God, if God calls you a child of God, it better mean something. Our lives should show it. Remember, not perfection, journey. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Because as children of God, we are different. We have something this world does not have. We have a God who loves us no matter what, in spite of all things, one who perfects us every step of our way, one who picks us up when we fall down, one who calls us their child when we feel so far from it. And because of that, we also have the opportunity, even the responsibility, to then reflect that love to others, to share that with those whom we encounter, to help people up when they fall down, to remind them that they are loved, to forgive them when they do something off, to be there the best that we can. We're not perfect, it's a journey. And where we can't, others can, because Christ has created us to be together. We celebrate today, and we remember those who have gone before. And what it reminds us is that we have a hope that we will be in the arms of God for all eternity. That's common. Now, we share that hope and love with people today. We share that joy of knowing that Jesus loves us and that Jesus loves them. And so I pray that we are different and that people know that we are different through Christ, who calls us child. I share with you this final prayer today. Thank you, God, for the tremendous sacrifices made by those who have gone before us. Bless the memories of your saints, God. May we learn how to walk wisely from their examples of faith, dedication, worship, and love. Amen and amen. Go in peace.